Welcome to the Gathering at Meadowview with Doug Messer, a church focused on biblical truth through scriptural teaching. I hope you enjoy the message today.
Yesterday I was thinking, you know, it's amazing how God moves. Years ago, a family in our church had a little boy and his name was Salvatore. I remember when he was born, and as Sal got older, he would hang around sometimes. He'd come up to my office and he said, "I'm going to be a preacher someday." I said, "Okay, Sal." And Tony Evans, he's a syndicated pastor, Urban Alternative, and he's on TV and radio. He came to our town of Franklin one time to do like a revival service, and he had a breakfast for all of the pastors. And there were about 30 or 40 pastors that came to the breakfast. Well, Sal heard about that. And he said, "I'm going to be a preacher. Can I go with you?" I said, "Sure, Sal, you can come with me." So Sal got his little tie on and shirt and everything. And I introduced him to Mr. Evans. I said, "This is Pastor Sal, and this is Pastor Evans." And they shook hands. And then later, the pastor who was over the ministerial association, he said, "And we have Tony Evans with us this morning, and he's going to have prayer over our breakfast." And he stood up and said, I'm passing it on. I'm going to ask Pastor Sal to pray for this breakfast." And Sal got up there and folded his hands and did this nice prayer and did good. Well, Sal became a pastor in a different way. About 3 weeks ago, he'd been doing relief work in Haiti. He flies a helicopter now, and he'd been bringing food and supplies and medical into Haiti, and his helicopter was getting shot at. And as you know, terrorists and gangs have taken over Haiti's and are fighting against the government and the police right now. And they grounded the helicopters, and he was in a motel, and he'd been in there, and he'd been texting me and telling me about things. And then he texts me this text, and it was like an epistle that Paul wrote. I mean, it was amazing. God's got this. God is watching over us. He's taking care of us. And I know that God will work through this. And it was amazing and had verses in it. And in a different way, he was preaching. And then some of the pilots didn't want to come back because there's still American citizens and other ones who are still stuck there. And Sal decided he would fly back, and he's been taking people out of the country. And, you know, it's a great risk. He said, "Pray for me while I'm doing this, but I know God is working." Amazing, amazing to see how God works in people's lives, how he grew up knowing the Lord. You know, many times you have a part in people's lives, and you're unaware of the things you are doing and how he works. And we're going to kind of talk about that this morning as we think of the effort that we put forth in following after the Lord. It's hard for some people being here this morning because they already heard this sermon. But I'm glad that they're here and they're a part of it. I'm going to tell you about two young people. And one of these young people's name is Sarah. And Sarah had grown up in foster homes, never really having any connection with her parents, never even connecting with a foster parent, because she's going from home to home. And as her foster parents were in a little old church like this in an evening service, and it was kind of dark outside. But Sarah didn't feel comfortable herself in being inside. I mean, she probably would have been welcomed, but she now has pink hair. She has blue jeans that have those little slits on them all the way down. A friend talked her into getting her nose pierced. And she just, and sometimes, you know, sometimes people do some things just because they don't feel accepted. They make sure they're not accepted. And she was outside, and she was just sitting there on the concrete steps that came up to the church, and a light bulb and Katie Didds flying against the light bulb. And inside they were singing, "Come Just As You Are." And she was thinking about that, me, as I am, coming to Jesus, not being a part of anyone's life, not fitting in certain places, not having the acceptance thought that I should have. And God met her right there on those steps. and she asked the Lord into her life. As her Christian life matured, she found that there's a lot of people who are just like her. And there's a lot of people that don't fit. And because she was somebody like that and God met her, she had a message to share with other people. Then there's a guy named Michael. Michael was on a bridge and cars are passing by, and there was a walkway along the side on this iron bridge. And he looked down at the tracks far below and he thought, you know what? Life could be over in just a minute. I could be done with all of this, because what purpose do I have in this world? I mean, in just one moment, there won't be any pain, there won't be any wrong, it'll all be over, it'll all be done, I'll just be forgotten. As he looked down and stood there for a moment, God met him. And he remembered some verses that he had heard, and he heard about truth, and he just looked up and he called on God. And God met him on that bridge. And then he found his place as he grew closer to the Lord. And his place was to reach out to people who were just like him, who had no purpose and felt like worth the life that you're living isn't worth anything. And so he had a place in God's kingdom, just as you are. We come to know Jesus, and the church in itself is full of people worldwide who their Christian life goes this far. They've asked Jesus into their life. They have asked forgiveness of their sin, and they're promised heaven. Okay, one day there's heaven after all of this. And I go to church some, and I've read the Bible some, but there's nothing else. Nothing else any different than that. That's as far as it goes, because there's no effort put forth. And you know, there is nothing in this world that we can think of that doesn't take effort. Keep up a house, it takes effort. To go to work, it takes effort. To build something, Jana has this quilt square in a frame, and I think it was her grandmother's quilt, and it's all been hand sewn. I mean, with a little needle and thread, the whole thing, and it has little tiny intricate parts. And I look at that and I think, man, how many evenings did it take to sew that? Besides everything else that you're probably doing during the day and all the work, and you'd sit at evening and you just sew all these little parts together, and there it is. And she's not here with us anymore, but yet it goes on, and you can still see effort. You look in these fields and there was effort. There's houses and there was effort. There's being a parent and there's effort. Everything takes effort until we come to the Christian ideal. And then we think doesn't have to be any effort. It just happens. You know, God will make it happen. He'll just put me in the right place, right time, whatever, whatever. And we don't put forth the effort that is needed for God to do amazing things in our life, work in amazing ways. There's a passage in the Bible, and you would wonder, why would we read this passage? We're coming towards the death and resurrection of Christ. We're coming towards Easter, because this is right before Jesus is arrested. This is right before trial. This is right before the end. And Jesus is praying, and he's praying to the Father. And I want you to know this. In this chapter, Jesus prayed for you and for you. He prayed for us individually, and it says so in this chapter. I want to see that chapter then, John 17. Turn there with me if you would. This is a prayer of Jesus to the Father. And he prays and talks to the Father. And then, as I said, we're going to look at a verse where in his prayer, he prays for you. John 17, and start with verse 1. This is on page 674, or you can listen as I read. After saying these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come." In other words, the end is here. 33 years ministering here on earth, being born of a virgin, born in a barn, talking with disciples, feeding 5,000 people, performing miracles, lepers walking around without leprosy, blind people being able to see, proclaiming the truth, being run out of cities. The hour has now come. It's almost over. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew that he would be tortured and he would be nailed to a cross. He knew it. He knew that there would be pain. He knew that while he was on the cross, that his Father wouldn't even look at him because he was representing sin as he was dying on the cross, as he died for sin for the world. Father, you have forsaken me. He's not looking at his Son. He can't bear to look at him because dripping off the body of Jesus is the sin of the world. Son, so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one of you that you have given to him. And this is the way to eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one who was sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave to me. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. I have revealed you. Jesus is saying, I have shown you to the ones you gave me in this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. My disciples that have been following after me and the other followers who have come. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message you gave to me. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believed you sent me. Now you want to see the passage where he prayed for you? Look at verse 20. I am praying not only for these disciples, the 12 disciples, but also for all those who will ever believe in me through their message. Wow. Handed down. So here's a disciple. And this disciple shared Jesus with somebody. And that somebody moved into an area we would call Germany. And they were involved. And then they met somebody else and they passed on a message. Then there was another person who gave a message and another one who gave a message. And it came on down and it came on down to you, your family, and you accepted Christ. And this prayer, Jesus says, I'm not only praying for my disciples, but I'm praying for all the people who live in 2024 who came to know me because the message was shared. Wow. And what is he praying? He's praying that we would glorify the Father like he did. Well, how do I do that? How do I glorify the Father? Because it's putting forth effort into this Christian life that we have been given. There's more than just accepting Jesus. There's more than just knowing some Bible verses and coming to church. There is knowing the message of Christ alive inside of us and going out into the world and talking to people and sharing people and giving whatever it is that we have. Something that stops people sometimes is that people think, you mean I'm a nobody unless I'm Billy Graham? I'm a nobody unless I start some great mission field? And am I a nobody because there aren't hundreds of people who have been affected by the message that I'm sharing or by my life? So then it causes them to withdraw and say, I'm just comfortable right here. This kind of gives us an idea. Think about this, that God has been building this big, beautiful house, and it's the kingdom of heaven. That's the name of the house. And inside the kingdom of heaven house, there is a beautiful kitchen. And this kitchen has the most beautiful cabinets that you have ever seen, and this craftsman has built these cabinets. And the doors and the hinges on in these cabinets and the stain that is on it. And you could take a magnifying glass and look at it and it's perfect. There isn't any blemish in it. And then there's a stairway in this big kingdom of heaven house that circles and it goes way up as high as you can see. How in the world did they miter all of those cuts? And how is it perfect? And all of the stairs are flared out and everything is perfect about it. And you would say, I could never build or do anything like that in the kingdom of heaven. I'm not gifted that way. But he comes to you and says, I want you to put all the doorknobs on the doors. I want you to clean the windows of my house so that people can look in and see the kingdom of heaven. And without those clean windows, nobody's going to be able to see what it looks like. And without the doorknobs, nobody can come in. And you think, but that's not that big a deal. It's just as big a deal as a craftsman who's building the cabinets and the stairwell and the marble floors. It's just as big a deal. And then you would say, is that in the Bible? I mean, what you're saying, is that really true? Does God really see putting on doorknobs the same as being this great craftsman that everybody knows? Like Peter led 3,000 people to the Lord in one day. And Billy Graham, did you know that in Seoul, Korea, Billy Graham had a crusade one time and 1 million people attended it in one open air place? 1 million people. More people have heard his voice than any other human in all of history. You mean I got to measure up to that? No. You might be the person who puts doorknobs on. And it's just as big with God. Matthew chapter 20, and you could go back and you could read this passage, verses 1 through 16, and I'll just paraphrase the deal. And the times might not be the exact times, but you'll get the gist of it. There's a farmer, and he has a lot of work to get done. And he goes into town, and he wants to hire some laborers to come work at his farm. So it's 8 in the morning. So he goes up and there's a group of guys that are eating sausages and biscuits and drinking coffee. And he says to them, would you guys like a job?
Yeah.
We'll work for you for a day. What's the pay? And he said, I'll give you a fair full day's wage if you come and work for me. All right. Drives them out to the farm, drops them off, has them start doing the work. Then at about 10 o'clock, he goes back into town. And there's some people walking around. He says, would you all like a job? And they say, yeah, well, we need a job just for the day. Yeah, just for the day. What's the pay? Well, I'll pay you a full day's wage if you come and work for me. And then he did it at 12 o'clock. Then he did it at 1 o'clock. And listen to this. Then at 5 o'clock, and they're only going to work till 6 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, he went and got a whole truckload of guys. And they all come. And he told them, I'll pay you a full day's wage if you will come and work for me. So they got done, 6 o'clock in the evening. Everybody's finished. Some guys, man, that was rough today, boy, I'll tell you. And they're done. And he has the guys who came at 5 in the line first. Okay, here's your pay. Counts it out to him. And it was a full day's wage. And the guys who got there at 8, did you see what he just paid them? They didn't get here till 8 o'clock, and half the time they were just standing around. I don't understand. And so they get up to the farmer, and they say, what's the deal? I mean, we got here at 8 in the morning. We've been working all day, and you paid those guys who worked 1 hour the same as us. I didn't lie to you. I gave you the fair wage, a full day's pay, and they got a full day's pay, too. They agreed to work. You agreed to work. He sees it all the same. His success thing, his achievement thing, isn't the same as ours. You put doorknobs on. Powerful. Awesome. Love it. You did exactly what I asked you to do. Now the world can come in and see my kingdom of heaven. And without you, they couldn't come in. And without the windows being clean, they couldn't look in and see what the kingdom looks like. You did that. I asked you to do that. And it's just as important as the one who made the stairwell. How God sees things in our life. And this is a person in the Bible who we don't ever even hardly talk about. And if I was to ask you to name the disciples, you would probably miss this guy because he's only mentioned 4 places. 2 of the Gospels, it's repetitive that he was just called to follow after Jesus. And it's only mentioned in just a verse. And he's always mentioned with another name. But he had one of the most powerful, influential messages in the entire New Testament. His name was Andrew. Is he one of the disciples?
Yeah.
And he had a brother. And his brother's name was Peter. And they were both fishermen. And both Peter and Andrew followed a little bit with John the Baptist. They would hear John the Baptist is over here, and they'd go and listen to him, and they supported him, and they thought that he was a really good guy. Peter became very powerful within the church. God used Peter in an amazing way, but he didn't get there on his own. There was his little brother named Andrew. Andrew went out one day and was listening to John the Baptist preach, and this Jesus showed up on the scene. And Jesus started speaking, and Jesus started moving, and Andrew followed him around for the whole day. Now listen to this. Andrew went and found his brother Peter and said, "We found the Messiah. Come and see him." Guess who brought Peter to Jesus? The doorknob guy, Andrew. He brought him to Jesus. The most powerful message in the whole Bible. We found the Messiah. Come and see him. Sometimes we think what I'm doing isn't that big of a deal. It isn't making that much of a difference. Our mission statement for our church is a real hard one now. Let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. There it is. It's got it all. Be the greatest doorknob putter on earth there is. Wash windows better than anyone could ever wash windows. Wash them for Jesus. What is God calling me to do that is part of his kingdom of heaven that he wants me involved in, and it will allow his kingdom to be seen and accessed? What is it? I need to find it. I don't need to hide back. I don't need to wait until I die just so I can go to heaven. I need to be doing it. Whatever it is, and it's different for all of us, and it is very, very important that we all find it and that we do it. I'm going to tell you a little story. My grandmother lived in a town, Spencerport, New York. It was on the canal. There were all these ports on the canal, Fairport, Spencerport, Lockport, Brockport, and she lived in Spencerport. And right next to her house lived the Bucks, Mr. and Mrs. Buck. And I always had a problem. I had to be moving. I couldn't sit still. So my grandmother had this big orange, was it Radio Rider or wagon, something like that? Had a big orange one, and I would get it out of her garage, and sometimes I'd go down the road in it. But most of the time, it'd be on the sidewalk with the uneven, curvy sidewalks and come on down. My grandmother had a gravel driveway, but the Bucks had a paved driveway. So I would come on down and I'd turn and go down their driveway, and sometimes the wheel would come off and the axle would scrape Mr. Buck's driveway, and he'd come out, and he was one of them guys that had, you know, pants up to here and a tie all the time. Get that wagon and go somewhere else, you know. And when I'd see that he left or went walking somewhere, I'd do it again. But anyhow, I'd look up in the top of their house, and up north they have those widow walks. It's like a cupola on top of a roof, and it has windows all the way around it, and it has a roof on the top of it, kind of northern architecture. And usually you saw them around the lakes or the coastal areas. And it was believed back in the day that women would go in the widow's walk, and they would look for their husbands to come back from the sea. Well, I would look up on the widow's walk, and I'd see Mrs. Buck up there all the time, looking down sometimes from the widow's walk out the window. And I asked my grandmother, "What is she doing up there all day? Kind of spooky." And my grandmother said she prays all day. And she looks out from the window at the city, and she prays for the people in the city. And she prays for the people who are going by and people in her church. And she probably prayed for Billy Graham, and he was successful because of people like her praying. And I thought about that, and I thought, I wonder if she prayed for that little hyperactive kid that went flying down her driveway. God, he's going to be an impossible thing, but would you use him? You know, maybe she did. Maybe she was a person who washed windows. Maybe she was a person who put doorknobs on. And one day when she goes to heaven, God will say, come up here, Miss Buck. I want the world to see what you did, the people you prayed for, the ministry you were involved in, how powerful it was. And you're not able to see it when you were alive, but you can see it now. Maybe so. Maybe God works in those kind of ways. Maybe he uses people like Sarah because she didn't fit and she has Christ into her life and God moved around her. Maybe she uses people like Michael and he is able to talk to people and share Christ with people who want to end their life, who don't want to live anymore. And he says, I know exactly how you feel. I've been there. What is it I do? How do I do this? How do I find my thing? This is one of those prayers that God will answer. There's one other prayer. If you go to God and say, please humble me, it will be answered. Another one of the prayers that he will answer is, show me my place. Show me what to do. Maybe it is praying. Maybe it is texting people all the time. Maybe it is being a person who constantly gives words of encouragement. Maybe it is you start a ministry. Maybe it is you participate in a worship team. Maybe it is that you are involved in some way of reaching towards. Maybe it is you just smile and you say, God bless you today. To everybody you meet, God bless you. And after a while, God works. I was asked to read this. I'm not saying anything bad, and he knows, and I've talked to him, and he's talked to me. He's Hindu. He owns a little store down the road here. And he called me yesterday, and he said, I have a gift for your church. There's a lady in your church, and I want to give this to your church, this money to your church, because of this lady. And he starts out and he says, I do hereby state that I know her for 5 years. She's been coming in to the store and she goes to your church. She is very kind-hearted, a generous woman. She helps people in need in many different ways. She volunteers her time and I want to donate this to the church. Maybe it's you. He didn't say her name, doesn't even know her name. But he sees her, and she's one of the ones that puts doorknobs on, and she's one of the ones that washes windows. And to this man who moved here from India to the United States, who has a grocery store near here, and whose family is Hindu and been Hindu for generations, all of a sudden, some lady comes into his store, and he sees her, and he knows there's something different about her, and he sees the way that she helps people and does different things, doesn't even know her name, and he wants to give a gift to our church because of her. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you that he sees. And we don't understand how God uses us in powerful ways in our life. Pray to him. God, would you show me what it is that you want me to do? How, you know, I have this hobby that I enjoy doing, and maybe I'll give it away as gifts. Maybe I'll just write to people. Maybe I'll just tell people that I'm praying for them. Maybe I'll just stop and say, if you ever need anyone to pray for you, I'd love to pray for you. Maybe it is that you text people Bible verses. Maybe it is that you join some club and you just go and you go to the meetings and you're there and people see you and you show Jesus and you let your light so shine before people. Find it. Don't become recluse. Be Mrs. Buck and go sit there and pray over the city and pray for the country and pray for people and you, let God use you and move in you in a powerful way. What is it, God? I told the early service, if all of us, myself included, would take this serious, we're going to have to start a third service and a Saturday service. We'll have to have a few more during the week. This place here will probably just wear it out coming in and out because we all took it serious. We all believe that There's something that God wants us to do in the kingdom of heaven to show people that he is really alive, that he did walk out of a grave one day, and his spirit came and lived inside of us, and he works inside of us, and he moves inside of us. And it's nothing we have to debate. It's nothing we have to prove. We don't have to do logical progression. We just stand before people, and we say, Jesus is alive. And they say, I know he's alive, because I see what you do, and I see how you live, and how you, I know he's alive. I don't doubt it at all. He has to be alive just to see what he does in you. I'm excited. I'm excited about what he's going to do. Find it. Pray for it. And I don't think I've ever, and I've been a pastor since 1988, I don't think I've ever been in a position where somebody came up to me and they said, I believe God is telling me that I need to. And I said, oh, nope, can't do that. I've never done that. Ever. I say, I'm so excited. And they say, I think you should be doing that. I said, he told you. Do it. Go for it. It's going to be amazing. I love it. We're going to close with a song. As we close in this song, and we bring ourselves before God, let him reveal to you how he wants to use you in a powerful way. As we stand together and we close in this song, if you'd like, I will stand right here. I would love to pray with you today about anything in your life at all. Praying God touches and heals, praying that God moves in your life, praying that God shows you what he would like for you to do. I'll pray for you today.
Thank you for listening. Join us here in person at the Gathering in Meadowview in Rogersville, Tennessee, or join us next week right here on the Dig Bible Podcast.